Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Coming up later on this hour, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to be with us. Apparently Viking hordes were going through L.A. and burning something yesterday. Or it was a player for the Lakers. I'm not sure. One of the two.
It's the Lakers.
The Lakers. See, here's the thing. You know what it is? It's sort of like smoke signals. It's like you don't actually even need to watch sporting events. You don't need to tune into CNN. You don't need to do a recap. You don't need to tune into Jim Rome. You just wait and watch the police reports, and then it's like you're learning both things at once. You know what I mean? It's like you get your morning crime fix, and you find out how the game went. Because it's there is some sort of direct... There's some sort of direct proportionality between one and the other. They can just get their victory shots and mug shots taken all at the same time. We've got the Xbox files coming up later on. We'll talk. We never got to this business. Would you like just a brief list of things we did not get to? All right.
Go for it.
Yesterday, we did not get to this business of Jon Bon Jovi and the country song. See, you... no one has any idea that there's any sort of drama that exists inside the country music radio world.
Oh,
and yet
no,
there
no,
is.
No, my friend. When I had my internship at KWJJ, that was during the whole Dixie Chicks, Toby Keith thing.
Oh, that's right. There was the cage match between all of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And apparently that... Who's the fat
one? And I had to screen the phone calls, too, with all the angry people because...
Comment, Pinkos!
Yeah, because one station was playing the Dixie Chicks, one was not. Oh. Blah-de-blah.
Was Gabba playing the Dixie Chicks?
No.
Really?
Yeah, they were the ones who dropped the Dixie Chicks from their playlist.
Hmm. Well, moving on. So we never got to this whole Jon Bon Jovi country thing. I do have a point with all of that. It's not just to use the phrase Jon Bon Jovi country star. We'll get to that. Second person glued to toilet. Police, let's see, police seek teen and bestiality case. We got the top get. No, I'm just reading them as they come here. It's all of this. So, plus, like, it's a three-world famous Phil Hendry show at 7 and another installment of It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Ladies and gentlemen, now we've been talking about this, I first heard about, One Man Star Wars. I don't know. It's probably, I don't know. It seems like it was months and months and months ago. And let's go ahead and just bring Charles Ross onto the show. Do we have some sort of appropriate, just full disclosure, by the way, I was at this vinyl swap meet about 3 weeks ago, and I do have a point here. I was at this vinyl swap meet, and I found, I found the full-length LP of Desiderata by Les Crane. Anyway, but I found the full-length 33 and a third long-playing record of the Miko Star Wars. Remember, Miko was this... terrible, awful, geeky, disco-y Trent Reznor. Like a one-man band, not unlike Walter Murphy and his Big Apple band. And he did this awful yet omnipresent and inescapable disco version of the Star Wars theme.
Yeah.
I don't just have the single. I found the whole album. And it's got the Cantina theme. It's got a mega mix. It's got a booty-thumping mix or whatever they called it back in the day. And then it's got a whole second side that's just intergalactic space jam, which is code for just sort of like really terrible disco-y elevator music because he had to have something to fill up the rest of the record. I had it all locked and loaded, converted to MP3, and I was ready to bring it in. And then I walked out the door and I left it sitting on the goddamn coffee table this morning. So without further ado, we will use the most predictable and generic intro music ever. And it's like I can feel like
I have another one we could play instead.
Like if I was a Dungeons and Dragons character, my radio hack points would be going up right now. I would have like +5 like predictable cliche skill.
It still works though.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Ross, One Man Star Wars trilogy, is the writer and director of that. Do we have something else, something that's less predictable that we could?
Oh, yes.
All right, yeah, we're breaking new ground.
What about Bunny? What's Bunny?
Bunny?
Yeah, Bunny.
Let's see, where is that?
You have bunnies. There it is.
Oh, that's Bisney.
Oh, Bisney.
What is the Bisney thing?
Oh, and the winner of the Academy Award.
Hey, look at you with the quick wit.
Goes to...
Wait, hold on. I have something, sir.
All right.
Here, hold on. We'll try something over here. This might work, actually. All right.
You love this song. What is wrong with you?
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen,
what year is this from?
1970. Ow! 78? Because it was the same year that Elvis Costello put out My Aim Is True.
So this was coming out when disco was living.
Exactly.
Living and breathing.
These guys beat Elvis Costello for Best New Artist at the Grammys.
Actually beat him?
I think so. It was either These Guys or A Taste of Honey that did that Boogie Oogie Oogie song.
Boogie, oogie, oogie.
Ah, never mind. Let's never mention it again. The writer and performer of one-man Star Wars trilogy, Charles Ross.
Well,
Charles,
that disco album that you're talking about, the Star Wars disco album, which I've heard many times.
That came out in 77.
But it is actually something that I've got quite a few times.
Really?
When I'm doing shows.
They bring in the Miko?
They bring in the Miko. But the all thing right. is...
You are a hack,
see, but
right?
No,
you're actually...
Shut your mouth.
You're going against cliche. You're actually going with what works.
So
what
it
really works.
It's so it's sort of like in Star Trek, it slingshots around the sun and becomes great again.
Comes great again. Exactly. But excellent. The whales just don't work. I don't know. No matter what you do. Where did they set it? In, like, San Francisco? I think they filmed it in Vancouver or something like that.
I was going to use a depth track, though. I wasn't going to use, like, the regular Miko. I was going to use, like, the Miko, Miko Imperial March or something. Or the Miko Jawa theme.
In one basement in all of the, the Northwest here, there'd be one geek. They'd be, like, going, yeah!
And that's what this whole show is about, my friend.
The niche
network, right?
Yes, all your geeks are belong to this show, my friend, right here.
Or belong to us.
All right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so, geeks, you don't even know. And I now, where are you from? Where were you born? Where do you live now?
Okay, I was born in BC, born in the middle of BC, and currently live now on the southern tip of BC. I live in Victoria, Vancouver Island.
All right, so I. And you must do a million of these radio shows where you come in and it's like some idiot morning show and some kooky guy.
It's the wacky guys.
And the giggling laughers and the paid gigglers.
Have you met any wacky guys here yet?
No, but I think I'm doing a wacky recording in a couple hours here, actually.
On the phone. Let me ask you this.
Ask me.
Have you done...
I love being on the airplane and you have like the stewardess or whatever coming on or the steward coming on going like, we'd like to ask you to, like, I do not want to be asked anything by somebody who's supposed to tell me what I'm going to be doing in an emergency. We'd like to ask you to please, it doesn't even make any sense. And they're the ones that are actually being
they have to choose between the fly and crash buttons in the cockpit.
God. I'd like to ask you a question.
So have you done any radio programs in Portland, or are we your first?
I think that... No, you're not my first.
Okay, what other radio shows and stations have you been on? We don't care.
You know, the thing is, this is...
You don't even remember, do you?
This is how much of a whore I am.
It's all a blur.
I don't remember.
All right, now that's fine. I'm absolutely okay with that.
Actually, I don't really know if I've done... This is the first live one I've done. So
really?
It's all been sort of phone trysts up to this point. But this is the first live.
That's because we're the only live show, because everything else in the city is automated and pre-taped.
Oh, that was weird. Okay, that's why all the questions were so
particular. Yeah, and it's a whole lot of... What you've been talking to is a whole lot of guys. Don't know anything about you. Don't know anything about what you do.
Not really.
We'll probably not go to see what you do.
Which is fine.
But like a consult, like some guy in a tie somewhere with a PowerPoint presentation has called them on the phone saying, your target demographic loves Star Wars. Get Charles Ross.
Absolutely.
You had a great article in one of our local papers last week, though.
Was it the Mercury?
I think it was the Willamette Week.
Okay. No, actually, I really... Let me just say this, though, and this is no baloney. Coming to the Northwest... or coming back here to the West Coast, being in the same time zone, for some reason, it just, everybody here breathes a different type of air or something. People seem to get this concept, and
do you
I don't
say
know.
This to every market you go
no,
to?
No, I don't.
People here on the East Coast
no,
really get
no,
what I do.
I wish that was actually the case. No, it isn't, because I mean, I have honestly done this show from one side of the country to the other.
Really?
And there's definitely a difference being, I've done the show up in Seattle and now done it here. And just, for instance, the crowd that we had last night was just one of those incredibly savvy audiences, which it's the only reason to keep doing the show, after all. I've been doing it for 4 years.
We're talking to Charles Ross. He's a writer and performer of one-man Star Wars trilogy, and we'll do a whole big pimping here in just a second. We'll tell people kind of where and when and how and all that. But first of all, let me just say this, that
what?
You seem...
4 years?
My
4 years, yeah.
At a certain point, yeah, do you feel like your brain's just going to crack from having to... I mean,
when I was doing Star Wars and Lord of the Rings at the same time, I had about 80 different characters always in my head. And keep in mind, I'm doing this.
Jesus.
This is the only thing I'm doing for a living.
I was going to say, I'll take Hammer and Nitch for $1,000, Alex.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's about identifying your target market and then exploiting them relentlessly.
To the hilt.
Now, let's start at the beginning.
I'll go out and come back in.
Let's
hear that Star Wars music again.
I say one-man Star Wars trilogy, and is this... I mean, it sounds like a very pedantic question, but is this This is you standing on stage, replicating the entire trilogy?
Replicating. Now, that's a nice way to
Is it line for line? Is it a synopsis, a summary, word for word?
It's the Reader's Digest version, except that, I mean, there's sort of been a couple of writers like myself that have come in to sort of add some little bits
To punch it up.
Punch it up a bit, and also put a little bit of a commentary into it. Little bits of commentary. I mean, the idea itself, like some ideas, sound so dumb. You think it's either going to either going to fly or it's going to flop.
Oh, it's genius. No, the first time I heard it, my first thought was A, genius, and B, bastard. Why didn't I think of that?
And the thing is, I didn't even realize I had it when I started it. I mean, this was a comedy sketch. I was doing a lot of stand-up,
right.
You know, and just, you know, help, believe it or not, to help pay bills.
You're a funny guy.
No, well, that's great, and I'm really privileged. But anyway, yeah, I was doing that this 20-minute comedy sketch that I didn't think would work. Which was just me, of course, being there on stage doing Star Wars.
Right.
And people got it so well that, I thought, man, this is just so
dumb. Do you get people who hate you because they think anybody could do this?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've had people that just hate for hate's sake, and it's like...
Well, we do that.
But I think it's lovely, actually, meeting people that are just haters.
I have a friend of mine consumed... I won't name who it is. And it's not... It's not Aaron. It is... Look, we have... And I'm surprised that he hasn't called it. We have an official geek. We have many geeks, but we have this guy, Aaron. He even has his own sounder here. And this is every time he calls, every time he emails, this sounder plays.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
No!
No!
So are you acting along with this, or are you just saying the lines?
No, I'm acting along with it.
What
I actually do is I get on stage and I play the movies, but it's like on fast forward, and I just eat a bowl of popcorn and like sort of go.
But I have this friend of mine, and it's not Aaron, it is someone else who is all bitter and consumed with envy. Because you're doing this, but anybody, I could have,
anybody can do it. That's the great thing. You all can do your own one-person Star Wars trilogy. The thing is,
it's
like,
just very life-affirming.
You just don't want to get the licensing agreement, believe me.
Now, does it...
Anybody can do it.
Did you have to talk to Lucas to do this?
Okay, once again, this whole idea was just for, like, giggles, so to speak.
Right.
And the other thing. And I didn't think I'd ever have to bother getting any kind of licensing thing because...
Oh.
I had no idea where the world was going to take me with this thing.
Yeah.
And, it...
Well, because in Canada, copyright, I mean, you people are just savages up there. You don't care about any of that, do you?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I mean, actually, believe it or not, I used to be doing the Lord of the Rings show, but because the Lord of the Rings musical is going on up in Toronto.
Right,
now,
right.
I'm
it's
sort of
terrible,
the,
by the way.
I'm in the holding pattern right now. So, right. I've heard some good and heard some
bad. I'm not going to say it. I just saw it was savage. But I mean, but Lucas is...
They're great. I cannot believe how good they've been to
really,
me. Really? It has been the biggest, like, epiphany of my life, honestly.
You picture Lucas, and you just picture him, him and his acres of pink flesh just sitting on a huge pile of money somewhere saying no to things.
No, yes, no, yes. Yeah.
And he's sort of got, like, Lucas has got this reverse quality gauge almost with most things, where... You know, what is this? Well, it's a bar of shiny soap with a gelatinous Jar Jar thing inside. Yes, go with it. And then, what is this? Well, it's a great fan film that pays tribute to... No! You know, next, you know, and...
Yeah, but, you know, it's weird. I'm not really selling anything other than just the show itself. It is celebrating the people's enjoyment of the films. And they've actually been able to have some kind of... sense of humor.
Has Lucas seen this? Has he?
Not, well, okay, he hasn't sat in front of me and watched it, but he's already received, I know, numerous copies of the DVD because I had to give them, like, full disclosure of all the materials.
And because your audience are probably freaks and they, you know, Mr. Lucas, I thought you would like to see this fantastic, you know.
There's no way he's going to watch it. So, I mean, it's an editing nightmare, but he's apparently an editor by heart. He just edits and edits and edits and edits.
Right.
So this year's the super edited down version of it. And, I mean, I got the licensing thing, and I've done the show at their big, giant Star Wars geek conventions. One in particular was last year, almost 1 year ago, Celebration 3. 35,000 Star Wars fans descended upon Indianapolis. I kid you not. And I did 4 shows over the 5 days. 3,500 people per show. Absolutely, completely full.
Jesus.
There was people being turned away.
Can you imagine how many Weird Al Yankovic shirts are in that audience?
There was none. There was nothing but Star Wars.
Just endless.
It was lightsabers as far as the eye could see. I mean, if you guys have ever been in front of a crowd like that, I mean, the thing is that people look like liquid.
Yeah.
It's
big mass.
The geek ocean, man. It was just unbelievable.
The geek ocean.
And it just washed against the stage, man. I was so thrilled. But on the last show, I had... all of the sort of top brass from Lucasfilm, including the president of Lucasfilm.
Was it stressful? Were you freaking out?
I had no idea they were there.
Oh, that's good. You don't want to know about that.
Yeah, but at the end, I mean, it was just, it was the target market.
Yeah.
It was the audience from heaven, or hell, whichever you want to call it.
All right. Well, we have to take a break here. We're talking with Charles Ross, writer and performer of one-man Star Wars trilogy. It's at the Newmark Theater, which is right downtown here. It's Southwest Broadway through, what, tomorrow's the final night?
No, actually, it's till Saturday.
Till Saturday?
Yeah.
Tickets are $20, $30. They can be purchased by phone at Ticketmaster, or you can go to onemanstarwars.com for more information. You have time? Can you hang out for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. If you have... I can't even imagine what the question would be at this point, since it all seems so self-explanatory. If you have a question for Charles Ross, writer and performer of One Man Star Wars Trilogy, or you'd just like to call up and say something geeky to represent your cred, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Back after this, The Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Stay right there. Back after this, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show, AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're here with Charles Ross, writer and performer of One Man Star Wars Trilogy. We got this. Rick, damn you. Damn you to hell. Oh, this is about seasons in the sun. Damn you, it's taken most of my adult life to get that godforsaken song out of my head. It was force-fed through the Canadian airwaves of my youth by the CRTC to meet Canadian content rules set up by the government. I thought I'd left it behind, never to darken the far corners of my memory ever again. Jesus Lord, I will be lying awake tonight with these Terry Jacks lyrics playing over and over in my head. Thanks to you, curse you, Rick. Curse the day you were born. Well, there you go. Thank you. Doing my best to bring a little ray of sunshine to the people of Portland. It's what we do here.
That is sweet.
All right. Well, you know, it's, you know, some people.
I was called the Antichrist once, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't realize the end of the world was going to work out so well
in
for me.
In conjunction with the Star Wars thing?
Oh, because of it.
All right.
Yeah, it was a direct correlation between the fact that I was doing it for a living and the coming of the apocalypse.
So are you just, I gotta ask you this, we're kind of getting short on time here, but I do have to ask you this, so are you just sick to the teeth of all things Star Wars?
No, not at all.
Are you just, did people come up to you go, let's talk about Star Wars, and you just like, get away from me, geek?
No, well, no, not at all. As a matter of fact, it's one of those things that I kind of have accepted the fact that I started this thing, so I better finish it.
Do you get girls from doing One Man Star Wars?
I already have a girl, thank goodness.
But I mean, theoretically, I'm sure that you have a very serious relationship, and you seem like a very honorable man, but theoretically speaking, if you were a cad.
If I was a cad, I'd be doing like the one man something to do with Vin Diesel or something like that. You know,
it's a one man triple X.
Something like that, yeah. I don't think I get any girls out of it. There are girls that exist in the Star Wars world, but
there are geek girls. I've met them.
I have met far too many Princess Leia gold bikini wearing girls.
There is no such thing as far too many Princess Leia gold bikini wearing girls.
Some people shouldn't be. Yeah, let's just say that.
I gotta say, you're a normal looking guy for a guy that does one man Star Wars.
That's good. Well, I mean, I was a normal person before this. I cannot be called a normal person any longer, which is fine.
Has it warped your brain?
No, completely
jaded? You're just so bitter about it?
It's sort of like becoming like a drug addict or something like that, where you sort of have to sort of admit it. You know, admit that you have a problem.
Right.
And I think that I definitely have made a problem.
All right, so here's the inevitable question. So you're doing One Man, Lord of the Rings,
yes.
Which you were not. You're now doing One Man Star Wars Trilogy.
Yeah.
Are you going to follow this up? Like, is it just going to be end like One Man Matrix?
You know, it's...
One Man Chronicles of Narnia?
I thought maybe I'd do the One Man, you know...
One Man Gormenghast?
Terms of endearment. Now, you are the third person that's actually said the One Man Gormenghast. I can't believe it.
What on top? Dude, what I told you, we're your people. Your target demographic.
Yeah, right. I know. I mean, you could do like the One Man Harry Potter or the One Man Muppet Show or something like that.
All right, there you go, kids. Register those now before he beats you to it.
There's actually a poll on my website, and the number one... is Matrix. Number two is Indiana Jones.
Well, one man Indiana Jones. I'd see that.
Yeah.
Just a whole lot of, just a whole...
I would totally see that.
I would completely see a one man, just a whole lot. We should have mailed it to the Marx Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, don't call me Junior.
Yeah.
Like that thing. The Junior.
I'll name the dog Indiana.
Ooh, I would want to see The Last Crusade. That'd be the best one to see.
He chose poorly.
Such nerds.
Totally nerds. Well.
All right. Excellent. All right. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster. It's One Man Star Wars Trilogy, written and performed by Charles Ross at the Newmark Theater all the way through Saturday. And visit onemanstarwars.com. Buy some crap. Make him rich.
Yeah, Richard. This is like going on a road trip. You see, that's sort of where this show kind of came out of. It's like being on a road trip with a bunch of people that are like-minded, in a sense. And, everybody started to do Star Wars quotes and crap. And I thought, man, there's enough people already in the vehicle that have different sort of backgrounds that already can sit there and quote Star Wars.
You just stay on the road. Here's the great thing. You just stay on the road with this forever. You'll never have to end. Because geeks are, man, there's going to be
always
guys.
Be new geeks.
Overweight and underweight guys who don't get laid.
The thing is, though,
they'll always be making more of those every year.
My body's not keeping up with it any longer, man. It isn't. I mean, my knees are breaking.
You'll be getting all Keith Richards.
Oh, totally, man. Except
I can't go on.
I'm going to get the coconut. You know. Didn't he fall out of a coconut tree?
No, the Keith Richards, we had this story the other day.
He fell out of a coconut tree.
The first story, I don't even know what a coconut is. A coconut tree one of those things that's on the island with Gilligan? It's like a palm and it's like a whatever?
Yeah, you can climb up it.
The first thing we heard is that Keith Richards fell out of a coconut tree, and then it was a jet ski accident. Then it was a jet ski accident. Then it was a coconut tree followed by a jet. Then it was literally, the next story was that he had fallen out of the coconut tree
and then had decided, well, I'm in a jet ski.
Yeah. And then he'd gone out of the jet ski and then he'd been attacked by an orca or something. There's something about it. Now he's doing what he always does, which is sitting in a chalet somewhere in Paris having his blood replaced with new plasma.
Mm.
So there, because he is Keith Richards.
Oh.
So,
well, if you can afford to do it, man, why not?
Dude, if you got the money, why not? Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Ross, One Man Star Wars Trilogy. Go to onemanstarwars.com. And please thank your publicist, your people as well. They were very
My people will be thanking your people.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
People,
what? I have no people.
Are your people.
Your people
I'm a one man. I'm one man.
Your people are listening.
I'm a one man Rick Emerson
they
show.
They're waiting for instructions.
My people are out there just waiting to be told what to do. Do we have to do a break? I'm so and should we be hearing from Jim Roop right about now?
Yeah, Roop was supposed to call 2 minutes.
Oh, goddamn Jim Roop. All right. So, Tim Riley.
Oh,
there we go. All right. Tim Riley will appear momentarily. Jim Roop will be here from CNN Radio, etc., and so forth. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to our man in Los Angeles, CNN Radio correspondent, Jim Roop. Jim Roop, how are you, sir?
I love you, man. I'm okay. How are you?
Do you love me for any particular reason or just because?
You're one of the greatest.
Well, okay.
Second favorite radio guy ever.
Have you been doing a little drinking today?
Me, no, never.
Okay. Who's your favorite? Wait, hold on. Don't tell me. Jim Roop in Los Angeles, your favorite radio guy ever is...
Okay.
Okay. Well, never mind. You made that easier then. All right. Hey, so you have to be really good. You have to follow up the one man Star Wars guy that we just had on the studio.
Did he do all the voices and all that?
I don't know. I've never actually seen it. I think I might go see it now. He's totally figured out the niche. It's fantastic. He's figured out where the money is. He stands on stage, replicates all three Star Wars films, and then geeks give him money. And then he goes back to the hotel and shoots at TVs or whatever. It's fantastic. So, all right. Okay. First of all, let's do a little post-mortem here with Jim Roop on the phone. How do we feel about that interview, Sarah Dillon?
I think it went pretty good. I think you kept interrupting him.
Well, I don't know. He seemed burnt out.
No, he seemed like he wanted to open up about being burnt out, but you kept like, oh, like, it looks like you just had a little too much going on. He kept getting distracted and then talking.
I don't know. I felt like he was... He just seemed all...
I think he was ready to pour out his soul.
Well, he's a Canadian. How much soul can he really have?
I feel kind of bad for him because he just...
He really did have that. Here's the thing, Jimmy. We had this guy, Charles Wright. Very nice guy, by the way.
Very, very nice guy.
Nice guy. Normal looking. Didn't seem to, no visible scars, nothing. But he's been doing this one-man Star Wars for 4 years. And he did sort of have this defeated tone in his voice.
When you weren't in the room, we were talking in here. And I'm just like, so is this, you know, is Star Wars your passion? He's like, no, it's just something I was good at that has just stuck.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
So
he's not even, he doesn't seem to even be enjoying the money he's making.
I'm sure he enjoys the money, but I think a guy who packs meat for a living enjoys the money, but I don't think he enjoys going to work for it. You know what it is? It's like Willie Nelson said one time. Willie Nelson said, every time you release a single, every time you put a song on a record,
you better be damn sure that you love that song, because if it's a hit, you're going to play it three times a night for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
So there you go. Hey, so I can tell that the Lakers won something because there's been an arrest report. Some guy, and I don't mean to be culturally insensitive, but I've just been calling him blah, 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 Brown, because I don't know. How do you pronounce his first name?
Kwame.
Is this a...
Lakers center, Kwame Brown.
Kwame. I mean, is this an actual name from another place,
well,
or is this another one of those...
Well, you think that first name would go with a different last name, like Bimbombobwe or something, you know? But
Kwame Gold Brown. Kwame...
go with Bimbombobwe.
Kwame Bimbombobwe sounds like somebody from, you know, some other continent.
Kwame Goldberg, you know, or just something, you know. Kwame Epstein. Anyway.
He's a nice guy. I've met him.
Sure he's a nice guy, except for the beating and the, whatever it is. What has he been arrested for?
Alleged sexual assault.
All right, so except for the alleged sexual assault, I'm sure he's a prize. Let me ask you this. What is wrong with people who play for the Lakers?
Well...
There seems to be some sort of, there's a lot of trouble that happens down there with those people. You know what I mean? The athletes, the people who play for the Lakers, and the people who are Lakers fans, there just seems to be this whole...
Well, that seems to happen with athletes in Los Angeles in general.
I suppose. Do the Trailblazers have this problem, Sarah? I don't know. I mean, it does seem to be a Los Angeles athlete and Los Angeles player or a Los Angeles fan vibe. There's something in that city. It's the smog.
Yeah, you wind up with that kind of thing on the Dodgers. An out of control player on the Dodgers. I think the Clippers are the only team that doesn't have an out of control player right now because they're all stunned.
That's what I mean. And again, this crosses like all ethnic bounds, all racial boundaries, all cultural background boundaries. There's something in the groundwater. There's some sort of a rift in the space-time continuum in Los Angeles. And if you are an athlete or a fan of an athlete, the odds are like 1 in 2 that at some point in your life you will be seen on camera setting fire to a police car, punching someone in the face, taking a crowbar to a bouncer at a strip club. So
bring the charges.
Yeah, I just don't know what it is. All right, anyway. And he issued a statement denying any wrongdoing. But the point is that your life continues to get better because it's just nothing but arrests and trials. Like other news guys have political campaigns that they're covering. Gary Baumgartner's talking about the removal of soft drinks from schools. You are just the constant. You are on. You are on the shooting, beating, booking, fingerprinting, and trying.
Yeah, I might as well just move down to the criminal courts building and put a cot in the.
You ought to be setting up some swag booth out there by the courthouse.
I should be, you know, the criminal courts bureau.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, all right. And
no churros down there because everybody's going to wind up down there at some point.
Yes. So the other thing that's happened to others, I don't want to get back on the illegal immigrant thing, but this is again an issue that happens here as well, where you have the day laborers where the truck comes by.
Yeah.
Everybody stands on the corner looking for the gig. Truck comes by and picks them up. And I know that this is now, I think, the third state, because now they're doing this in Arizona too, where they're now trying to make it a crime to either be the guy on the corner waiting for the truck, or to be the truck that comes by to pick up the day laborer.
Well, there was a Superior Court ruling yesterday for one Southern California city, Redondo Beach, that it was a law that you can't solicit work in the street. But when a judge said to the city, you can't enforce that because you give these people no other alternative to go to solicit for work.
Right.
So if you don't give them a day laborer center that they can sit at all day long while people come by and say, hey, you want to mow my lawn? If you don't give them that, you got to let them solicit in the street.
Right, right.
You know, so why have a law if you can't enforce it?
It
doesn't make much sense.
No, it's just this whole trying to make the best of a bad situation. And the problem with this whole thing is that every answer, there are no good or right or correct or efficient answers here. There's just degrees of bad answers. Because every decision, every court decision, every law that they try to come up with to solve this whole big ball of problems just leads to more issues and lawsuits.
Well, we have stopped in this country, I think, considering consequence and what makes sense. We were sacrificing that for the sake of hurting somebody's feeling.
Yeah.
And being politically correct. And I think that's where we wind up with a lot of problems. If we just put something on paper and say, this looks good as theory, let's make this work, instead of saying, well, whose feelings are we going to hurt here? I think that's where we're going wrong.
You know what I think we should have you do at the end of every year? I think we should have you, Jim Roop, do a one-man year in review for CNN.
You know what? I'll be fired.
We should put you on stage for 60 minutes, have you reenact all of the idiots you've had to interview, all of the weird groups that you've had to go cover, all of the ludicrous stories that you've had to pretend to take seriously. And
it's job security, man.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Someday, my friend, I will become grand, irremovable dictator of this country, and you will be my enforcer. And we will have this country running like a top within like a week.
I will work for you in whatever capacity you deem appropriate, sir.
Thank you, my friend. I will talk to you soon. Enjoy the rest of your day in Los Angeles.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Jim Roop. I don't know what it is, man. Those people. People
in Los Angeles.
People in Los Angeles are not like people in the rest of the world. It's not just athletes, not just fans. It's everyone who lives in that. I think that Los Angeles really is like one big Sunnydale where there's just a huge hellmouth underneath, because everyone who lives in that place, as Bret Easton Ellis noted, they just start to go crazy after a few years, and you either have to leave or you just become. Because look, we all know this. You meet people who live in Los Angeles, and they've all got a weird vibe about them. They've all just got a strange aura about them, personality wise. They're gonna find out some days like one huge Indian burial ground or something underneath that city. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting breaking news. This just in, Zacharias Moussaoui will not be cooked in the electric chair after all. He'll get life in prison instead.
Well, see, but this is smart. Imagine how tough it must be to be that guy's lawyer. You know what I mean? That's one of those things. When that guy gets arrested, and you're sitting there, and you're in the pool of public defenders, and you're sitting around the water cooler, and you're talking about some secretary that you want to try to get into bed, and meanwhile, you're watching on television, you're just getting ready to pick the public defender, and you just pray that it's not you. Because imagine what a thankless... It's like that guy that got picked to represent the Manson family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just waking up every day, he's having to drink a fifth of vodka to get to sleep at night. He wants to toss himself off a bridge every morning. This guy defending Zacharias Moussaoui, he was brilliant, though, because his whole defense was that he's a crazy Islamic martyr. So therefore, he wishes to die so that you can't kill him. So the whole pitch that he made to the jury was, give him life in prison because it'll really piss him off. Which worked, which was effective. So well done, the counselor.
Meanwhile, drivers in the city of Detroit have to end their cell phone calls. A ban has been approved. You can't drive and talk on your cell phone anymore. You get caught, you get a ticket, or even a fine.
Where is this at?
Detroit.
Is that even if you have a headset?
Let's see. Oh, they can still use hands-free phones.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, but even... Look, if you can't operate a car and talk at the same time...
Most people can't.
But this has nothing to do with the cell phone. That's just people who are stupid. Everybody in this room... Sarah, you talk on the phone while in the car. I've seen you do it. Even without the hands-free thing. You have the razor in one hand, or whatever the phone is, and you drive with the other hand. You ever hit anybody while doing it?
Nope.
Neither have I. Tim?
What?
Have you ever talked on the phone in the car? You talk on the phone while driving sometimes, don't you?
I very seldom drive anymore, but I have in the past.
But I'm saying you haven't hit anybody because of it?
No.
Right?
I'm close.
Because you're not stupid. Because we're not idiots. If you're
just setting yourself up.
I'm not. I'm just saying, I'm so tired of hearing about this cell phone thing. Stupid is stupid. It has nothing to do with the cell phone. If you're able, here's what I want to know. And feel free, I'm not asking this in a rhetorical sense. If you really know the answer to this, by God, you call me up and you tell me. I do not understand the difference between driving in your car and talking to someone in the passenger seat, and driving in your car and talking to someone who's on the other end of a little black box. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter. You can talk to one person, you can talk to another. It really just is one step above walking and chewing gum.
Police say a 46-year-old woman, 46, has been married to three men at once, and they may just be a part of a trail of at least 15 husbands in several swindles. A judge on, sometime today is expected to decide whether Kyle McConnell will face trial on felony polygamy charges. She told me she was only married once, but I found out I was... Well, the only sucker in the bunch, said Douglas Rice. McConnell is already serving time for trying to defraud another husband, Richard McConnell. He was sentenced in April to 10 months in prison for passing bad checks written to Richard O'Connell and his family, but drawn on the bank account of yet another husband named Lenny.
I'm so confused on the story.
She has 15 husbands.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a polygamy case.
All right. Should I be taking these? Okay.
I think you should.
Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Oh, it's Diana.
Hi. How can I help you?
Well, after all, I had to talk about Star Wars.
Well, the one question I didn't ask, and Aaron pointed this out. The one question that I did not ask, of course, was whether he performs the original trilogy or the special edition.
Oh, come on, let's be honest. We know it's original.
It must be, because I think if you perform this back, if you're performing some one-man Star Wars, and you have Han shooting, a second, then it's the geeks are going to storm the stage and kill you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. All right.
So, girls like Star Wars, too, okay? I'm just saying right then.
That's why I was... Okay, sorry. Don't come kill me. All right. I was just wondering about it, because let's not lie. We've all been to the cons. We've all seen the gender breakout. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
An Olympia woman who wore a witch costume to rob a bank on Halloween then vanished amid a puff of smoke caused by an exploding dye pack won't be able to make her sentence disappear. 23-year-old Vanessa Molina has been sentenced to 13 years in prison for a series of holdups in Olympia. Okay. One of the heists occurred on Halloween. She abandoned a witch hat and about $2,000 in cash when a dye pack exploded after the Halloween holdup. A charity foundation's former accountant who admitted embezzling heart disease funds to pay for an Ohio dominatrix who beat him has been sentenced to 2 to 6 years in prison.
It's fantastic.
Abraham Alexander of East Meadow, New York, pled guilty to grand larceny. Apparently, he stole $237,162 from this research foundation. Apparently, he made a timely repayment of at least 50% of the money he stole, so that'll reduce his sentence. His lawyer said his client pled guilty and would raise as much money as possible by selling his interest in a Long Island house he lives with a wife who's divorcing him. The website of the dominatrix features numerous photographs of the 43-year-old pain professional in which a leather metal stud thong and bra, high-heel lace-up boots, and leather dress are shown in what appears to be a red latex rubber evening dress. It says she charges $250 an hour and declares, quote, professional domination sessions are good for people trying to have fun.
You know, it sounds fantastic. Do you ever go to one of those adult stores and it's like you think that maybe, I don't know, you feel like maybe you're an open-minded guy, you feel like maybe you've, whatever, you go, well, I'm a good, kinky American, I'm as perverse as they, but you go there and I don't care what it is. I don't care if you've got, if you're at home rolling midgets in flour. It doesn't matter. If you go to any of these stores, you will suddenly feel so vanilla, so plain, so milquetoast, so uninteresting. I forget if it was here or if it was somewhere else. There's this place, where did some store went? I think it must have been in California. Some place, it's called The Crypt. And it's like some big sex leather weird store. And I'm like, that looks great. Let's go in. And you don't even really realize, like, where the bar is set for you personally until you walk by and they literally are selling. And you want to make money. Here's where it is. The money is not just in sex. The money is in weird, bizarre, very niche-oriented. Like this guy, I can't even imagine. And it's stuff that you would never even conceive people paying for. What do you want? I want a woman to kick me in the junk and then put cigarettes out of my tongue. Well, it'll be $5,000. Sold! And it's always some Dick Morris type guy. It's always some guy, he's wearing a pinstripe suit, and during the week he's a manager at the Red Cross. And on the weekends he likes to have hot branding irons applied to his buttocks and to be made to dress like little Bo Peep. That's where all the money is. And so, you walk into a store like this, and I remember seeing like this full on, I mean, it's like a spelunking outfit. It's crazy. It's like this head-to-toe rubberized suit with then, like, the World War II gas mask thing and, like, a leather hood with, like, a big pink appendage attached to it. And the whole thing was, like $6,500. I mean, and then you realize that you've chosen your careers so poorly because, obviously, that's where all the money is. So if you're in between... If you are in between careers, like a friend of ours who used that phrase to a woman at the listener party and was then denied any loving because she said, what do you do? And he said, I'm in between jobs. If you are in between jobs, that's where they manufacture weird crap for people to beat other people with while they're in bed. Because that's your road to financial security, right? Don't worry about the stock market. It's all about floggers.
Police believe a high school teacher who moonlights as a pro wrestler attacked a 17-year-old girl and then left her in the woods with a broken neck for more than 30 hours before accompanying investigators back to where she lay. Researchers who spotted Ashley Reeves through the driving rain thought she was dead but saw her take a breath and she managed to live. They also believe 27-year-old Samson Shelton, a teacher, tried to kill her a day early. It's almost disbelief that she's still alive. Authorities say it. Reeves had a relationship with the young girl but would not elaborate.
All right, let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about the John Bon Jovi.
Johnny Depp is embroiled in a legal battle over plans for a shopping center near his Hollywood home. The Pirates of the Caribbean star is apparently furious over plans to build a strip mall at a car park near his Hollywood mansion, claiming the project would obscure his scenic view of the city and stop his children Jack and Lily Rose from enjoying an outdoor play area. He's upset. I thought he was in France or something.
I don't know. I just realized that you were like a sentence into that, and I just sort of stopped. I realized I couldn't possibly care less about it. Yeah. It's 503-733-2970. Had no reflection on you as a news person.
I understand. They can't all be good.
they can't all.
Wait, I think about, he has something.
How about Canada's Prime Minister Stephen Harper eats babies? Does that interest you?
Let's get the Star Wars guy back and ask him about it. Sir, is it true that your Prime Minister eats babies?
Apparently this was flashing an electronic sign in Toronto area commuter trains. And it sent several technicians scrambling to get the sign fixed.
And the sign said what?
Canada's Prime Minister Stephen Harper eats babies. We assume it was a hacker.
Have they ascertained definitively that it's not true?
Let's see here. Right. The signs will remain offline for a few days to put password-protected technology installed to protect them from hackers.
Okay.
We regret what happened, and we're sorry.
How funny would that be, running the TriMet best and just seeing it flashing George W. Bush eats babies?
Yeah, I'm gonna Cooling Galaxy eats babies.
Did I redeem myself?
You really? I had nothing. It had nothing to do with you. Just sometimes the news runs hot, sometimes it runs not. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Still on the way. Xbox Files. What's the worst song you've ever heard? Do we have J-Lo news?
Yeah, we do.
I have a Geek Watch here.
Tom Cruise? Oh, what an hour do we have.
Fantastic. I have
an unknown TV host dies.
I have geek news to get to. We're going to play this country song. And we have time. We'll do It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. We are right here on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Back after this.
Know the reason why you try to put on no dance and actually